reacted very differently in their lives. And of course, Cain takes his brother's life. He was so angry at these events. Because we are human beings, we make certain choices in life. A little bit earlier in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve had sinned against God, and God drove them from the Garden of Eden. And then we come to the story of Cain and Abel. But as you continue to read, come to chapter 6, and you find by that time that the entirety of the world, with the exception of 8 people, had rebelled against God. They were not choosing the right path or the right direction. And again, we can follow the family tree, if you will, and the Bible gives us that. The Bible gives us the lineage there so that we can follow it. And what we find is that by the time you get to Noah and his family, the world was evil. It had nothing to do with their humanity. It had nothing to do with their race. They made choices, and they sinned against God. Before Noah, there seems to be a united race, if you will. After Noah and his 3 sons, it's when we began to see differences. But again, none of that matters, because we are all a part of God's creation. And so we make choices in life, and we live according to the nature that we have. We live according to the being that we are. We are human in nature. We think, we reason, we make choices. That's who we are. That's what we do. And whether we like it or not, we must do that. And so if someone has a curiosity about their family tree and their origins and where they're from, there's nothing wrong with that if someone wants to spend the money. But those things are irrelevant, because as part of the human race, we live and we do certain things. And we must, as human beings. But you know what? That birth is not the most important birth in our lives. Go over to the book of John, if you will. And I want you to listen as Jesus was speaking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was probably a part of the Sanhedrin Council. And he comes up to Jesus, and he says in verse 2, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God. He is talking about the spiritual kingdom. He's talking about heaven. There has to be a new birth. Being a part of the human race is no guarantee. And so there has to be a different kind of birth. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And so Jesus is speaking here of a different kind of verse. He says, look, we're not talking about the fleshly birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's something different. No, Nicodemus, you cannot go back into your mother's womb to be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be born of both water and the Spirit. The Spirit here refers to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. A little bit later in the Gospel of John, as Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples for his departure, he's trying to encourage them, let them know that they're not going to be alone. And so in John 14, verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then in chapter 16, in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so God is telling his apostles here that they're going to be endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts chapter 1, he tells them, you wait in Jerusalem until this power comes upon you. Then, of course, in Acts chapter 2, that is exactly what happened. As they were assembled together, the 12 were assembled together in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, it says suddenly in verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so these 12 men, they were preaching the gospel, and they were speaking in the various languages. The Jews had come there to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost to worship God. It talks about the different areas that they had traveled from in order to get there, to be in Jerusalem. And in all of these different areas, their dialects, they were hearing as the men preached. The power of the Holy Spirit. And so we go down to verse 36. And Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, convicts many in this audience. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In verse 40, with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people on this day became children of God. God's adopted children. They took upon themselves, if you will, the DNA of God. In the New Testament, the Bible speaks often of how we are to follow Jesus and how we should let the characteristics of God permeate our lives, lead us, direct us in the things that we do. We have to become holy because He is holy. And all of this is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's done by the teaching of God's Word. In the passage read a little bit earlier, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That's the word of God. It will never end. Its power will never cease. If you are born of this incorruptible seed, the word of God, and you take upon yourself the DNA, if you will, of deity, of God, through the Word, You remember what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 6? Again, talking about this birth, this rebirth. He says, know ye not, in verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We take a new life on ourselves. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so when we take upon ourselves this form, when we take upon ourselves Christianity, our DNA changes, if you will. It changes from a rebellious sinner. It changes from someone who is lost, someone who has no hope in his own life, in his own power, to someone who has the right to call God Father. Think about the power of that. The right to call God our Father. And it is a true birth that takes place. It is a birth that is based upon the Word of God. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, he says in verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to stand up for who we are. And we need to be willing to answer those who are critics, those who deny the power of God, the power of Jesus. You know, a lot of people have a great deal of pride in their physical, their biological heritage. And I understand that to a point. But here, we have a spiritual heritage. Why would we not want to stand up for that? Why would we not want people to know how deeply we've been blessed by God's love? And realize something. Just as being a part of humanity, there are things that I do. There are things that I must do because I am human. So it is with the child of God. If I am a child of God, if I am a Christian, there are things that I must do in my life to show that, to demonstrate that. Let's look at what Paul said to the brethren at Colossae. Turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. And we want to begin reading with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The idea of being risen with Christ again. The same concept that we read about over in Romans chapter 6, where in that context, he's also talking about a new birth. And so we put sin to death, and then we are raised from that watery grave of baptism, we are raised up as a new creature. And so we are risen with Christ. And if we are risen with Christ, then we will seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Do you ever get hungry? Do you eat? Is your food a little bit different than many of the animals of the world? Do you eat food like humans eat food? I understand you might like things different than I do. We might not like the same dishes. But when you look at a human being eat, you can tell that he's different than the gorilla, than the monkey. He's different than the animal kingdom. Because he's eating as a human being. And there's something unique about that. The same thing is true spiritually. If we are God's people, then there are things we're going to do. And one of the things we're going to do, by the way, is to eat spiritual food. Set your affection, your mind, on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And then he goes on and talks about some things that we are to put off. He says, mortify. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then you drop down a little bit in verse 8. Now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another. So these are the things as Christians, as being God's children, that DNA that we put off. These are not the things that we enjoy. These are not the things we want to do. Because it's not who we are. If we're going to try and be holy because he is holy, these are not things that we long for. I'm not saying that the animal side of man has no desire for inordinate things. But you see, as a Christian, we are responsible to control those urges and those appetites. As Christians, we are responsible to elevate what is truly important to us. That's the Christian DNA. The Christian DNA is not one that goes back and tries to seek pleasure in this life. The Christian DNA is looking forward to the blessings of heaven. And so in verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. This is what a child of God does. These are the things that we put on, we clothe ourselves with because of the DNA that we have. I want you to realize spiritually there are only two kinds of DNA. There is the DNA of sinners, and there is the DNA of God's people. And the DNA of sinners will always be the same. There will be no real difference. The DNA of sinners involves a life that has at some point in time chosen to sin against God. It's a life that has not come back into relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's not been born again. He's not taken on a new DNA, a holy DNA. Every sinner has that kind of DNA. Every child of God has first of all been born again, second of all has put off all of the things that he's supposed to put off that have to do with this world, the lust, the desires of this world, the enticements of this world, and has, in fact, put on the qualities that are mentioned here in Colossians chapter 3. But not just here. In Galatians chapter 5 as well, when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. These are the things that we are to put on. He talks about the works of the flesh. Those are the things that we are to put off. And I want you to understand something. Every single child of God, because they have the same DNA, every single child of God will do these things without fail. You cannot have a person with, as God's child living in sin. Remember, we are adopted children in that sense. We cannot live in sin and please God. We cannot live in sin and be acceptable to Him. It's a wonderful story in that in the physical realm, if you are adopted, you will never have the DNA of your adopted parents. It's not possible. But how wonderful it is, because we can be God's adopted children. In the same time, we can have God's DNA. Not suggesting that we become God, not suggesting that we take on the manifestations of deity. Certainly we do not. But God says we are His children. God says this is who you are, being born again. And so my hope and my prayer is that you will ask yourself, what DNA do you have? It's pretty obvious as I look through the audience here this evening, we are all human beings. We may have a different family tree. We may be able to go back, and some of us are from Europe, or some of us are from here or from there. It doesn't make any difference. We're all human beings. But spiritually, there are two DNAs that affect mankind. The one of a sinner and the one of God's children. If you're not a part of God's family, if you don't have that DNA, I hope and pray that this evening you will come forward, you'll confess your faith in Christ, and you will be baptized into Christ, your sins forgiven, and you'll become a part of His family. And maybe as a child of God, you've gone back. And maybe you are taking back on the DNA of this world. The animalistic. The one that is filled with lust and desire. If you do that, you're going to lose your relationship to God, His children. But God will forgive you if you'll come back. God will forgive you if you put those things aside, if you ask for His forgiveness. So respond tonight if you need to. As together we stand and we sing.